Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
All right, it's time for episode 4 of Fathers of the Grind podcast, or as Derek would say, maybe episode 3.9, 4.3. We really don't know, Derek. Which one is it?
I'm going to go ahead, and since you went low the first time, let's just go high. Let's go with 4.625690.
Yeah, and that makes sense, too, to the listener. They're trying to figure out which ones they've missed. I want to add as many decimal points
as
possible.
As long as it ends with zero, because episode 0.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, welcome, guys, back to Fathers of the Grind. Thanks for joining us for episode 4. It is actually episode 4. And I just appreciate everyone who subscribes and listens. Thank you for those of you who have shared the link and have told your friends and family and strangers about the show. It's been great to kind of see a following build up a little bit here. And feel free, again, to go to our website, fathersofthegrind.com, check out some articles, and also submit any questions or comments or feedback you have. There's a little contact form there on the side. Go ahead and do that. But first of all, let's talk about family stuff. Of course, we started the show with the angle of being dads who have full-time jobs, who have families, and who also like to play a lot of video games. So the question I have for you, Derek, is, are there any games that your kids like to watch you play? And I guess kind of by default, the follow-up question is, are there any games you recommend to any of our listeners who have kids that you would say, hey, you should play this, and your kids might enjoy playing with you or at least watching you play?
Yes. There's a couple of games that my kids enjoy watching. Right now, I just picked up Lego Marvel Avengers. So I picked that up on PC for $16, and I got it for... I don't really like the Lego games, but I got it for Eli. So he'll play it, but he requires me to sit with him and help him, because the Lego games have puzzles, and I guess, as everybody knows, I hate puzzle games. I'm guessing my son is not a big fan of them either. So he'll sit with me, he'll watch me unlock stuff, and my eldest son, Ian, even told me, Dad, I need you just to beat the game and get me open out in free world, is what he calls it.
Oh, yeah.
And once you get me out in free world, I'll play it. So that's one game. Another one is Rocket League.
Yeah.
They enjoy watching me fail. They don't enjoy watching me succeed. In fact, this morning, I was showing them the video that I made yesterday when I played with Brian Pelfrey, and... they were disappointed to find out that we came back and won 4-3. They were actually
they were disappointed.
Yeah, because the match, the way it was, is it was 3-1 with like a minute and a half left, and Brian and I scored 3 straight goals in a minute, and we ended up winning 4-3, and they were all 3 very disappointed in the result. They were hoping that we would lose. Not because they hate Brian. They hate their dad. So I mean, it's mainly... sports games, though.
Okay.
I said Rocket League, but if it's FIFA, if I'm playing FIFA, they'll watch me play FIFA. If I'm playing Madden, they'll watch me play Madden. But eventually, once they learn it, they want to play on their own. They don't really just sit around on my shoulder and watch.
Well, and speaking of Eli, you mentioned Eli. I got to throw this out there to Eli, my little buddy. I made a joke in our first episode about how I've got 5 kids and Derek has 3 kids, and I made some really dumb joke, as I often do, about how that makes me better. Of course it does not make me better. Your dad is awesome, clearly. He buys you games, he likes to play with you, he talks about you guys all the time. So Eli, dude, your dad's awesome. Don't listen to me. I make stupid jokes. Sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah, so let me give a little bit of context for the 2.24659 listeners that we have right now. So Eli went on YouTube. He's a big YouTube fan. I didn't tell him where to go. Of course, I told him about the show, but I was just watching TV. I wasn't telling him to do anything. He did this all on his own. So he searched for our show. I don't know how he got it, because I don't even think he knows the name's Father of the Grind. But all of a sudden, I hear in the background the episode click on. Like, I hear you start talking, and I'm like, oh, cool, Eli's listening to our show. Hopefully, he'll like it.
Yeah.
And he made it about 4 to 5 minutes in, and I hear him click off. I'm like, huh, he must have thought it sucked. And so he walks over to me, and he's got, like, this upset face. And to provide even more context, Eli and Ian are big fans of Tim. They like Nestor Funk on my PS4. I don't know why, but they always root for him, and they always wish that I lose in Rocket League. And
yeah, I've even heard them chanting Nestor Funk in the background while we're playing. So
exactly. Yeah. So they're big fans of Tim. So Eli knows that I do the podcast with Tim, so he knows it's Tim. And so he walks over to me, and he's like, he got this upset face. And he's like, Dad, I'm really upset with your friend Tim. I said, why are you upset with Tim? Well, because I just listened to the podcast, and he says that he's better than you. He's not better than you, Dad.
Aww.
I said, Eli, Tim is just kidding. It's a joke. Like, I'm not offended. He's like, no, Dad, I'm really upset. You need to tell your friend Tim that I hate him. It's like,
he is like, so your son. I can't even believe it. Like, he took something slightly out of context, blew it out of proportion, and decided that he hated the person who said it.
Absolutely. It wasn't like I'm upset with Tim, talk to Tim about it. It was straight up, even after I told him I'm not offended, it's just a joke. He says, no, it's not a joke. Man. I hate him. So that's the context behind why Tim just apologized to myself.
Yeah, so Eli, you're cool. Your dad's cool. It was all in good fun. And I bet you that my kids would like hanging out with you. You sound like a cool kid. So sorry about that. If you ever hear jokes like that, I'm totally kidding. Yeah. Okay, I think
hopefully your kids don't get offended like mine do.
Pretty well covered it. Yeah, yeah. No, they don't defend me at all. Like, you could say that about me, and they'd be like, "He's right, Dad." All right. So some things that we've played that my kids like to watch us play. Well, first of all, as they've gotten older, more and more, it's less watching and more can I play. And so, of course, we've started to shift more into trying to find multiplayer games and party-style games. So we've already talked about those on past episodes. But as far as games that they will still sit down and watch, just like they would a TV show or movie, and really be engrossed in it, something like Costume Quest 1 and 2. I played 1 through on the PC on Steam, and I just recently bought 2 when we started that up last weekend. It was on sale on the PlayStation Store. So they love those games. They look like little Nickelodeon cartoons. They're very funny. They've got very simple, straightforward, turn-based RPG mechanics. Basically, you pick up a new costume, and then your character has a whole new set of abilities. So it's very simple, very straightforward, and it's very kid-friendly. So Costume Quest games, I would recommend those. They've also enjoyed watching games over my shoulder. I think I mentioned this too, on the 3DS. So whether it's been The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time 3D, or Super Mario 3D Land, the struggle there is when you've got someone watching over the shoulder, you have to turn 3D off. Otherwise, they'll just see a big blur. And then for a game like Mario 3D Land, that actually makes the platforming a little tougher, because that 3D genuinely helps make a lot of those landings and a lot of those jumps. But that being said, they do love those games. Another recent one is King's Quest, and I've only played through most of the first episode. I know the second episode's out, but they loved that too, because again, it looked a lot like Sword in the Stone or one of those types of animated movies, and they loved that. It was really funny, so I recommend that if you haven't tried out King's Quest. And then I'll just kind of echo what you said about the Lego games, all the Lego games. The Star Wars games, the Marvel Superheroes by far was our favorite one to play through as a family. So there's a lot of great games out there that, let's say your kids are just young, just old enough to enjoy watching, but not quite old enough to play. There's a few suggestions for you. But also, once they get old enough to start playing, then you get games that we've talked about before, like whether it's Rocket League or Child of Light, or even some of these Lego games where you can start doing some co-op. Those are the kind of things that we like to play as a family.
Yeah, I mean, Rocket League is a great game just because, and not to harp on the game so much, because I know our listeners are probably cringing every time we mention the game, but it really is a great game because it's easy to pick up, but very, very difficult to master.
Very
so,
true, yeah.
My son could pick it up without ever playing it, and he can do pretty good. I mean, he can score some goals and stuff like that. Now, if he went online, he'd get destroyed. But that's the great thing about it. You can play it online, or you can play it single player, and you can put it on rookie, pro, whatever, and just have fun. Yep. It's a real easy game to pick up.
One of the things that we've done for, so we got twins that are 4. They're going to turn 5 next month, and they're still really young and a little bit too young to really get how to play that game well. They just like to use turbo as long as they can and just drive up the walls. And if they hit the ball, that's great. But otherwise, they're just having a blast. Like, they're literally laughing the entire time they're playing. They're just having so much fun zipping around the stadium with the cars. So I'll just put them into, if you go into training mode and into free play, you get unlimited rocket boost, and the score, the goals still count. You know, it still kind of blows everybody back. And but anyway, so they like doing that. So yeah, if you've got Rocket League on your PC or PS4, or if you have Xbox One, then here in a couple weeks, you will have Rocket League available to you there as well. That's a great one, not only for yourself, but also for the kiddos.
Yep,
so
I'll have it on Xbox One as well.
Speaking of games that we are currently playing, and that Xbox One comment segues really nicely into this next section. We'll talk about games that we're currently playing. Before we get into this list, I just wanted to ask you real quick, unless you want to talk about it real in depth, have you tried the Division beta yet, and what are your general thoughts? I know we're going to talk about this game more in the future, mm-hmm. so maybe just a couple quick bullet points. What are your main thoughts if you've tried it so far?
Yeah, I won't, you know, talk too much about it, but I played the alpha a little bit, and then I just got into the beta today, or I should say tonight when I got off work. I got to play 30 or 40 minutes, but it's all stuff I've played before in the alpha, so it was kind of nice to play it again so I could, you know, remember what I had already gone through, and then you kind of get better at it. So far, I really, really like it. Really, really like it. I've heard some, or I shouldn't say heard, but I've seen people comment how they're like, the cover system is finicky. At first, I thought that way when I played the alpha, because I didn't get it. I wanted to play it like Gears of War. It doesn't play like Gears of War. It's more tactical. I actually like the way the cover system's set up. I can't really go into detail. It would be confusing if I did and a waste of time. But it's definitely different than if you're used to games like Gears of War. But it's very tactical. It's definitely got a lot of options to maneuver around pretty freely. The combat is, and this is the most important thing I'll say to anybody listening for an opinion on The Division, is very heavy on RPG. I always put the RPG before shooter. Doesn't mean it's a bad shooter. Still a great cover-based shooter. But it relies heavily on the RPG. Meaning, you could be shooting a human being, and you're shooting him in the head, and you're like, why aren't they dying right now? And you have to put a whole clip in him. It's because each character or villain or whatever you're fighting has their own HP points. Or HP points. Thanks, Derek. Hit points. And and if they're a high-level character, it's going to take a long time. So again, it's very much a RPG before it is a shooter, but it's still a great shooter. I highly recommend it based off the little bit I've been able to play in both the alpha and the beta. But I had already pre-ordered it. This is, if not the most hyped game for 2016 for me, it's definitely top three.
Cool. Okay, so you're playing on Xbox One right now because it's available, the beta is available to Xbox One players, and then we're recording this on Thursday, so then tomorrow, Friday, that's when all PS4 users are able to play too. Am I thinking of that correctly? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I guess cool. Ubisoft and Microsoft have like kind of a deal. I think even with the DLC, it's coming early or something to Xbox.
Yeah.
So they got an extra day, but I'll be on the PS4 tomorrow night.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to trying that. I'll give you guys my thoughts. I'll add my thoughts in next week, since I think Derek's had more experience with it than I have, and I'm going to try it this weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. So for our family, I've got some pretty big news. I know that Derek always teases me about having so many kids. We only have 5 kids, but he always says I have 9. So just want to let you guys know, we actually have a new addition to my family that's come. My wife and I talked about it for a little while, and we've decided it's time to grow our family. And we are going to add an Xbox One to our home.
Aw, I'm so proud of you.
I know. It's happening. So for anyone right now who is about to send me a message and yell at me for having kid number 6, we are definitely not doing that. We are having current-gen console number 2 is what we're doing.
Nice.
So it's Xbox One's going to be arriving, according to Amazon, tomorrow. So yes, I'll be playing The Division, but I'll also be setting up my new system and getting acclimated to all of that. And I've got a whole bunch of 360 games to carry over. I'm really excited about that. And games that I'm getting with it right off the bat is Forza Horizon 2.
Is that digital, or are you getting a disc?
That's digital.
Okay.
And there's one more I'm forgetting. And then Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which I already have played and beaten on the PS4. That is a physical copy, so I'll be able to take that and trade it in for something else. So anyway, very excited about that. It's always great to get a new toy of any kind, especially when it's a big, expensive, technologically awesome toy. So I'm excited for that.
All right, I got a couple questions.
Yeah, hit me with it.
Question number one, mm-hmm. What's the first game you're going to play on your new baby?
It's probably going to be Forza 2.
All right, sweet. Yeah. All right, I think you'll like it. I know you're not a big racer, but I think you'll like it.
And no, let me backtrack on that a little bit. That might change, because if I go to start downloading it and it's taking too long, then I might end up firing up one of my 360 games or the arcade games.
Those don't count. Those don't count.
Okay, all right.
We're talking about Xbox One here.
Yeah.
All right, so for Forza Horizon 2, very good game. I love it. I want to say it's my favorite racer. It's up there, ever.
I've been told by several friends already online that it's, even for someone who's not super into cars, and I would definitely call myself one of those people, I struggle with like the super realistic sim racers. I've been told that it's really fun even for non-hardcore racing fans.
It's really arcadey.
That's good news to me.
I wouldn't say like Need for Speed arcadey, but pretty close.
Yeah.
And it's open world, so that's why I said even if you don't like it, your kids will like it, because they can literally just drive around. Yep. They don't have to enter a race. They can just ram into things. They can drive in the grass.
Yep.
There's no restrictions. So
a quick shout out to Rob Rinaldi, Joe Ryan, Colin Perkins, and a few others who have said, hey, I'll play with you. So looking forward to that one.
I definitely won't play with you, but it's a good game.
All right.
Question number two. What made you choose the Xbox One over a Wii U?
Okay, so I am, of course, we have a big family. We are a Nintendo family. Like, I've owned almost every Nintendo system. And without making this too long of an answer, it basically comes down to the Wii U is overpriced. And my kids are still at an age where if I bring home a Wii game they still haven't played, to them, I just brought them home a brand new game that just released today. So they're still at that age where new is relative.
Yeah.
So if I brought home a Wii U, they would be just as excited to play new games on the Wii U than they would if I said, hey, I brought home some cheap DS games I got from GameStop for everybody. You know, I spend $12 and then everyone's happy for the whole weekend. That's the same amount of a win for them as bringing home a whole new system, even with something as cool as Mario Maker. And I'm not saying they wouldn't love it, because I would love it and I know they would love it. But until that system drops to a price I just can't say no to anymore. That's one of the reasons why I said no to Wii U. So it was more about not choosing the Wii U than it was about, I think the Xbox One is better than it. It was more just the Wii U, I don't think I'm getting value for it yet at that price. Seeing it for that price on the shelf next to a PS4 and Xbox One, that when you look at the bundles that they're coming with, they're almost identical in price.
Yeah.
Across the board. And that is a little ridiculous to me when you consider third party support and just the bare technology that's within each system.
I 100% agree. Like, as a person who owns all the current gen, the Wii U, while I will always tell people it's a great system and encourage people to buy it, compared to the other two, it's just, especially at that price point, it's not worth it. I think I own 10 or 12 Wii U games, all first party, and I play them a little bit, but I haven't really gone crazy over one Wii U game. I enjoy all the ones I own. Like, I enjoyed Mario Kart 8. I probably enjoyed Mario 3D World more, which is surprising because I enjoy Mario Kart games more generally. Xenoblade Chronicles X is great. I haven't invested as much time as I thought I would, but it's still great. But overall, the catalog, while good, it's not worth $300. To me, by the end of this year, especially if NX is a real thing, or it's really coming out this year, I shouldn't say it's a real thing, it's a real thing. But if it's coming out this year, there's no way they don't drop the Wii U to $200, $250.
Yeah, I mean, in the interest of transparency, if I had known that I would have, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, that I would have a little bit of extra room in the budget to make a purchase like this, I probably would have sprung for one of the Black Friday deals for the Wii U that I saw online a few months ago. I mean, there were some insane deals with some great games I know I would have wanted to buy, and I would have spent somewhere in that $300 range, and it would have been beautiful. But I didn't know that I was going to win my fantasy football league and therefore net some cash to make this purchase. So here we are. The reason I picked the Xbox One is basically there's experiences there and enough of them that to me warranted the purchase. It was on sale. It came with several games and an Amazon gift card. I also have a 360 library that's just ridiculous and huge. Just so many games on there. And I also still have some of my favorite 360 games on the shelf here in their cases. And I believe all of them are backwards compatible. I checked out the list. So sweet. We're talking about a system that not only can replace my 360, but be an upgrade for it. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. It's a way to upgrade it as well as continue playing things on there that, like, maybe I want to go back to Red Dead Redemption, like I talked about last week. Maybe I want to dive into one of these arcade games or play Castle Crashers with the kids or whatever. These are all things I can continue to do on the Xbox One. So to me, it was a good pick. It was a good choice. And I will let you guys know next week my first week of Xbox One playing.
So, okay, so it came with Forza Horizon 2, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which you're going to trade in.
Oh, and Gears of War HD.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to play that one. I already played it. It's been a
long time since I played Gears of War. I mean, I never did beat it. Like, it was a long time ago that I played it.
Kind of disgusting me right now. I beat that game like 10 times. It's a phenomenal game that's not that long, so there's really no excuse. Yeah, so we'll have to play that. So, to segue into the question you said that you thought might be my question is, what is the first game you're going to buy that didn't come with your system already?
So with my trade-in with Assassin's Creed Syndicate, the physical copy, I'll trade that in, and I'm getting a gift card from Amazon as part of that bundle deal, part of the incentive to buy it. So those two things combined, I'm planning on getting Rise of the Tomb Raider and Ori and the Blind Forest. Those are two games that I have just been dying to play that are on the system. I kept telling myself and others for a long time, oh, I'll play it on PS4 when it comes out in regards to Rise of the Tomb Raider. But on the inside, I was slowly dying because I wanted that game so bad. So those are two games I'm going to get right out of the gate. And then I'll look for some deals on some of the older games on the system that have been out for a while, like Sunset Overdrive. I've always wanted to play that. And I'm really looking forward to diving in. And then, of course, there are some things this year I'm excited about. I'm looking forward to games like Cuphead, which is just a real unique action game with a really weird aesthetic that I'm excited about. Games like Below, which is at least a timed exclusive.
Below is definitely there's a whole bunch more. Game of the year for me.
There's a whole bunch more that I can't wait for. So, yep, looking forward to that.
Below, gosh.
All right, well, let me give you a quick lowdown on other things I'm playing, and then I'm going to turn it over to Derek because there's a big question I have for him in regards to what he's playing. So I just beat the game Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. And I actually, there should be a review posted up on our website, fathersofthegrind.com. So if you want my thoughts on that game, go over and check that out. We don't do a ton of reviews over there, but every once in a while, even if it's a game that's been out for a while, I go ahead and put up thoughts on a game and kind of give it a review and a recommendation. So go check that out. I also finished The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. I played it through in one sitting, in two sittings on Saturday. I enjoyed that game a lot too. And same thing, I don't want to dig too far into it right now because I also have an article up about that on the website. So in the interest of time, I encourage you to go check that out if you want my thoughts on The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. I played through and beat Infamous First Light over the past week. I enjoyed that story way more than I enjoyed the story for Second Son, but the overall meat, the overall content of the game wasn't quite as enjoyable. Like, it was a lot quicker, a lot shorter of a game, but the story was much tighter, was better told, and I thought had much more of an emotional impact throughout. Really, really liked that game. I love the character of Fetch. I think she's awesome.
See, I finished that game a while back, and I don't remember a dang thing about it. And I'm not a big Fetch fan. I found her voice acting, whoever it was, to be annoying. So her accent and the way she talked, everything was annoying. And I just don't remember anything about it. I do remember it was better than Second Son when it came to story, but that's because Second Son was borderline terrible. Or like you like to say that I say, garbage. But I don't remember I don't know. I just don't remember it. It was a forgettable experience for me.
Let me tell you why I like the character of Fetch. I can totally see why you're saying that she came across as annoying, because her character is not always the most likable. She's got a horrible temper. She can't always control herself. She's very selfish, so she's only in it for her own motivations. She's doing all sorts of stuff throughout that game that's just awful. Mm-hmm. Like, if not completely injuring people, then totally murdering a whole lot of people in order to accomplish what she's trying to accomplish, and kind of doing everything in the name of, you know, a certain family member. So anyway, it's pretty dark. Her character is not always likable. She's got a ton of flaws. And there are moments that I was like, wow, she's not necessarily a good guy. And yet there are times when she is the good guy, the hero. So I liked her a lot. I liked that she kind of had a different sounding voice than most female protagonists in a lot of games. She didn't sound like another run of the mill, you know, badass chick. She sounded like a girl who was kind of still teenager, maybe early college age. She was kind of struggling to find herself and figure things out. So I liked it a lot. And not because I think she as a character is amazing. I just thought she had a lot of depth and a lot of layers. So I liked that about her a lot. So jumped in, played it, and now I'm done. So I'm not going to bother with the platinum.
Although all three of those titles that you mentioned are smaller titles, that's a pretty nice week to knock out three games.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, as we're getting ready, we talked a lot about the big games coming out. We're getting ready for some big releases here in a little while. I figured just time for some bite-size experiences, knock those out.
That's kind of what I've been doing, but I'll get into mine later.
It feels really good to like play through a game, finish it. I mean, it feels really good to 100% a game too. And I think that's a topic that we'll cover in a future episode, you know, why we do or don't pursue 100% on achievements or on trophies. But it just feels good to finish the story, get to those final credits, and know you can kind of close that game down and start a new one next time you play something. So a couple other games I've jumped into recently. We played Dying Light together last weekend. I don't know if we'll jump into that anytime before the following comes out, but it was kind of fun to jump back into that. Very stressful, but fun game.
I still want to beat it, but
yeah,
it's just whether we have time, because as we keep talking about games we're playing, you and I both have an extremely long list.
Our lists are growing. Two other ones. One is Final Fantasy Explorers. Just came out this past week. Really charming little Final Fantasy / Monster Hunter type of a game. It kind of has some MMO tendencies too. It feels a little bit like an MMO in the same way that Phantasy Star or Monster Hunter feel like an MMO at times. Really enjoy it. It's got all that Final Fantasy charm. It's not that kind of chibi, overly cutesy style that some people love. It's not really my thing. It's right there in the middle. The graphics look nice, but not incredibly sharp. I mean, it still has, you know, it kind of still looks like a DS or 3DS game. So the graphics aren't incredible, but they're good enough that the gameplay is really enjoyable. The multiplayer, you and I played together for a little bit, really fun. The quest system where you're going out there and collecting items, or you're fighting dragons, fighting monsters, and coming back and getting your rewards and upgrading your gear. It's just fun. It's just a really fun little game.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time with it, but I haven't played it since we played Tuesday night. It's a great co-op experience, so I definitely enjoyed that game.
Yeah, I think I've played a little more than you outside of that. I think I've probably put in 5, maybe 6
Holy
hours.
Crap,
and
boy.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's one of those things that I've been playing at night before I go to bed. It's been fun. I like it. And then lastly, I'll just throw this in there. I've been dipping my toes back into Castlevania Symphony of the Night. That was on sale, I think, 2 weeks
such
ago.
A,
and so I'm playing that on my Vita.
It's, really
it's a classic game, and it's harder than I remember, and it's pretty brutal when you go too far without hitting a save point, and then you lose all that progress.
But when I never played that shit.
All right, Derek, I just took a bunch of time telling people what I'm playing. What are you playing? Hit the highlights for us, and if you need to pause on one, I want to hear about the games that you're playing.
So,
oh, wait a minute. Before you go into that, yeah, let me ask you this. You've been challenged not only by me, but by members of our community, by our listeners, some of you are listening right now, to play through and finish and complete one of the two best Zelda games. And you got to pick, and you kind of asked us what we think. Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, or Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. You need to pick one of those and play them through and beat them. Which one did you pick, and have you begun yet?
I thought we already went over this, that I've clearly beaten Ocarina of Time.
We did go over that, and no one believes you. So which one did you pick, and have you started yet? What's the progress there?
All right, so, again, context. I was getting bashed constantly. We had more than 2.456500 listeners. I hope that was the exact same number I used earlier. Because every time I post about something, somebody takes a little jab at me about how, oh my god, I can't believe Derek didn't complete A Link to the Past, which I shared in episode zero, I believe.
Yes. Yes, episode zero.
So, anyways, so I got tired of the jabs. I noticed that another member of our group has been taking a lot of crap for the last, I would say, about 6 months.
Yeah, a long time.
Because Jesse White got all the way to the end of Final Fantasy X, and I think, if I'm wrong, he can correct me, he got all the way to the final boss battle, and he just kept losing over and over and over, and so he finally just said, enough's enough, I quit. And there's a lot of Final Fantasy fanboys/girls in our group.
Yep.
And they have been just wrecking him left and right. Like, if we go more than 2 weeks without him getting thrown under the bus about how he didn't finish that game, I'm in shock.
And you know what? So to give him credit, he's handling it quite well.
Yeah, he handles it well by just basically not giving a
crap. He jokes about it. He brushes it off. And, yeah, he handles it like a man.
So, and that's the opposite of me. So, the way I handled it was after about four or five jabs, I was like, all right, that's it. So, I basically posted saying that I need the community to tell me right now what Zelda game do I have to finish this year.
Yep.
I'm committing to finishing it this year. Now, Zelda games, I mean, you can finish them most of the time in about 20 hours. So we're not talking about like a 100-hour RPG. But the reason why I'm giving myself the full year is because there's just a lot of games. So it was between A Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time, and the votes came in, and A Link to the Past, I would say in the beginning, destroyed Ocarina of Time. But towards the end, there was about four or five commenters who picked Ocarina of Time. But in the end, A Link to the Past has been chosen.
Yep, it's a shorter game, too. That is the game
I'm going to finish before a year in. And then I'm probably going to try to get Ocarina of Time done as well. As far as, to answer your question, where am I at in that game, I brought up the title screen.
Oh, good. So and took a picture of it.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Because I had just booted up that morning. I was like, oh, cool.
Then you might not want to jump in too quickly to say you want to tackle both of them. Just saying. If you
No,
title
I'm
screen
not
is...
going to do that. Yeah. I'm just going to at least do this one, but I may hit Ocarina of Time. But I doubt it because I really am excited to play Twilight Princess High Def.
Yeah, when does that come out?
That comes out in March. March 4th, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, so, for any of you, and this is like on a serious note, not giving Derek crap about this one, because I think, did you beat that one?
No, I got pretty far in that one, too.
But now you will, because it's in HD.
Yep.
For anyone who never gave Twilight Princess a fair shake, because the opening of it is one of the worst Zelda openings, it takes way too long, but by the end of it, it is one of the better Zelda experiences. I wouldn't call it better than Link to the Past or 64, but it's up there with the ones that are in that second tier. It's a great experience. Probably has some of the best dungeon designs, especially towards the end of the game. Really, really great. Can't recommend it enough. If you have a Wii U, which I don't, I recommend checking that game out if you never tried it out on the Wii or the GameCube. So, okay.
Yeah, I pre-ordered that with the Amiibo, which I never buy the Amiibos, wolf? but I had to have that one.
The wolf looks so cool.
Yep, so I pre-ordered that from Best Buy for $50 for both of them. So I'm
okay, nice. Okay, so you haven't started Link to the Past yet, really. So we'll check in on you with that later.
Yeah, I'll update throughout.
Tell us what you are playing. What's keeping you from jumping into that so far?
All right, so like you, I finished The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, and when I first started the game, I was actually really overwhelmed by how beautiful it was.
Definitely.
I just kept staring at the scenery. Yep. I would take screenshots so I could share with people, which I do that sometimes, but very rarely. But this was a game that I was just like, man, I just want to go to every corner of the area and just take a shot.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game.
But by the time I finished the game, it took me about 4 hours. I decided I don't like the game.
Okay.
I won't go into spoilers, but basically you don't play this game for the gameplay.
No.
There's nothing fun to do. Mm-mm. You play this game for the scenery and then the story. I just didn't personally care for the story.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of lame. And the way it finished was kind of, okay, cool. Yeah. So when I finished it, I was like, good, I'm glad, delete. So it's off my PS4, and I will never re-download it or play it again.
I want to make a quick comment about that game. To me, I was so enthralled by it. To me, it was almost a magical experience, and I still really liked it by the end. Like, I think it's a really important type of game that we have access to on a regular basis. I love that game. But I will...
I will say, as a person who hates, like, indie games, mm-hmm. or I always say I hate indie games... These type of games are, I love them.
Yeah.
I actually do like these walking simulators,
yeah.
As long as they have a great story. Like, I enjoyed Everyone's Gone to the Rapture, loved it. This one, not so much.
To me, when they started, and again, I don't want to spoil it either. I'm going to try to follow in your footsteps and talk about it without really talking about it. When they started to show you, like, actually play out the scenes that happened, I thought that was cool, but I thought it would have been better if they didn't actually show you the characters, because then it reminded me that I'm playing a video game.
The characters are ugly.
Because the character design, the character models are pretty basic video gamey looking characters, and the world looks like someone's actually got a camera and I'm controlling the cameraman. Like, it looks so real and so good, and all of a sudden the characters are like, oh yeah, this is a game that I'm playing. So that's the one drawback for me, was the actual the people. The way that they looked, it didn't quite do it for me. And again, that's all told in kind of flashback type styles. But anyway, great game for me. Not a great game for Derek in terms of story. But I'm glad we don't agree on everything.
And I would still recommend it to people.
Yeah, for $8, if you got it on sale, you got a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it on Steam for $4 or $5. So
nice.
It's worth that. Definitely check it out. On my actual games that I'm playing, since I'm not really playing Zelda right now, and I've finished Ethan Carter, I have actually a long list, so I'll go through them real quick. Resident Evil Zero, still playing that. I actually played a couple hours last night, and I'm towards the end. I probably have maybe 2 or 3 hours left at most.
Nice.
Until I'm done with that. Dying Light on the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Not playing it a lot. I was mainly playing it to beat it with you, so if you're not playing it, I'm not playing it. Rocket League, not even going to go into that. We already know my story. Tales of the Borderlands. You know what's funny about this? I've played through the first two episodes. It's great so far. But I played through the first two when they released. Like, as soon as they came out, I played them. So I haven't actually played this game in probably like 9 months or whatever. I don't know. Pretty long time.
Okay.
And I have booted up episode 3 4 different times and not made it past the first 30 seconds.
You might need to just put that game down.
Yeah, so I'm doing really good with Tales of the Borderlands.
Put that one out of its misery. Take it off your list.
I don't know. Hopefully I'll get in a rhythm like I did with Life is Strange and knock it out, because I really want to play it. Final Fantasy Explorers. Don't really need to talk about that much. I played it the night it came out. I definitely plan on playing it more. It's not one of those games where I'm just going to play it once and move on. I really enjoyed it. I am going to play it more. To the Past, I put it on here twice. That's awesome. Mad Max, not really playing it, but I am playing it. Kind of touching it every once in a while, but not enough to really talk about it. Xenoblade Chronicles X, I am actually starting to dive into that more. One of the things I do love about the Wii U is it's kind of like my 3DS, where if my family's watching TV or if I'm watching football, I can play Chronicles X while watching football or watching one of their shows.
Yep.
So I do like the convenience of that. So I'm not playing it a lot, but when I am watching TV or something, I'm normally playing that.
Nice.
Or this next game I'm going to talk about, which I really, 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 really like. And that's Trails of the Cold Steel. It's a PlayStation Vita game. Well, it's actually a PS3/Vita game. It's a JRPG, and it's very, very similar to Persona 4 Golden.
Okay,
now,
I haven't
played through Persona 4. I haven't beat it or anything like that, but I've started it. And Persona 4 is all about, like, you know, you're in class and friends, and you're off and do all these weird JRP things. That's exactly what Trails of Cold Steel is. I'll kind of set it up for you. You're this dude who is accepted into this academy, and you're put into a class that's just newly created for you and like 10 other kids. And the way they do the classes at this university or academy or whatever it is you have your higher ups, your rich people, and then you have your common folks. Well, this class is a mixture. And so it's kind of an experiment. And so far, I'm probably about 8 or 9 hours in. I've done a lot of missions with them, and you're basically working with rich kids and common folk kids or poor kids, going on missions, killing monsters, and fixing problems and doing a lot of side quests as well, while all going to school and doing like active stuff like, you know, playing sports and things like that and having a social life. So it's all that mixed together. It's really good. Or at least for me, I really enjoy it. I like the combat.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I like Persona 4 Golden, so yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, and I do regret that I have not played Persona 4 Golden a lot, because every time I've played it, I've always enjoyed it.
Right.
But I've gotten into Trails of Cold Steel more. I don't know if it's just... I'm not really into anime, and this is a little bit less anime to me than Persona 4 Golden. So, and Golden's also a little bit more silly to me than this one. So I like this tone of JRPG. So definitely highly recommend that.
Cool.
But that's it. And besides The Division, which we already talked about.
Yeah. I mean, as you guys can hear, we've got a lot of games that we're kind of ducking in and out of. This fall was so full of games that dominated, you know, weeks at a time, really the whole, from the summer on, you know, when all the way back to The Witcher, I feel like there's always been a game that's been dominating my playtime. You know, it went from The Witcher to Batman and then to Metal Gear Solid and then Assassin's Creed and then the Uncharted games. And I didn't even get to jump into Fallout. And so, like, it's just been big game after big game. And so now being able to knock out some of these smaller games has been fun. But it also means that, I mean, just listening to Derek's list, if I really named every single game that I consider, you know, still in progress, we'd be here all night. So yeah.
Yeah, I have more than that, but those are like the main ones that in the last few weeks that I've jumped in and put at least 3 or 4 hours into.
Yeah.
Like, even though I say, like, oh, I'm not really playing Mad Max, I'm probably 7 or 8 hours into it. I just haven't gotten hooked into certain.
You just
games.
Play it 30 seconds at a time, and then you jump back out.
Yeah, as soon as I die, go to Rocket League.
All right, so what I want next is listener feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Next week, one of the topics I'd like for us to cover is what are some of the most ridiculous game ideas? So this could be anything from games that came out really horribly, just awful games, and the idea behind them was ridiculous, or games that actually came out really well, or at least better than average. Think about things like Octodad, or even a game like Frogger from way back in the day, a frog crossing the street. Like, that seriously is a game concept. Something like Worms, you know, these little worms wearing military helmets and shooting rockets at each other. Something like Shaq Fu or Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. What I want to hear from you guys, from you listeners, is what are some of the most ridiculous game ideas that you've ever heard of? Or, if you want to be really creative with it, ridiculous game ideas that you've had that you think could make for a really crazy or silly game. And we've got some that we'll go through and talk about, but if any of you have some that you want to throw out there, we'd love to hear from you. You can either go to the website, as we've talked about a lot, and submit a form there, or you can also email us at fathersofthegrind@gmail.com, and we'll get your feedback that way too. So that's going to be for next week. So Derek, be thinking about some ridiculous game ideas for next week too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right, how about some news?
Sounds great.
You love news.
I do, actually.
There's a whole lot of stuff that's been happening, and I know that in some cases you might look and think, yeah, the headlines have been boring, but if you start to dig in a little bit, again, there's been a lot of activity already in 2016, and so we're going to pull out things that have happened over the last week or so and just highlight a few things. The first two items have to do with anyone who subscribes to PlayStation Plus and or Xbox Live. And this is the games that are coming with those services. You get access to, for PlayStation Plus, we'll go there first, starting on February 2nd, Grid Autosport for the PlayStation 3.
Good game.
Helldivers, Democracy Strikes Back for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, is that correct? And the Vita?
Yeah, it's. I think it's everywhere.
I didn't realize that was on PlayStation 3. Also, Lemmings Touch for the PS Vita. I loved the old PC Lemmings game. I'm not sure how it holds up today or if Lemmings Touch is good, but I did used to love Lemmings. Nom Nom Galaxy for the PS4.
Sounds terrible.
Nova 111 or Nova 111, however that's supposed to be said, for the PS Vita. And then lastly, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax for the PS3. So those are your free, well, quote-unquote free, the games you'll have access to as a PlayStation Plus subscriber for the month of February.
Overall, I would say it's a good month. Grid Auto Sport, Grid games are great, even though it sucks that it's a PS3 game. Helldivers, while I'm not a huge fan, I still respect it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to trash it like I normally trash games I don't like. I played it once. I actually kind of liked it, but it wasn't like my style of game because I'm not into stick shooters.
Well, that's probably the highlight, though, wouldn't you say, of this list is Helldivers?
Yeah, or if you're into Persona, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
Okay.
Believe that's the fighting game?
I'm not sure.
Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know there was a fighter on the PS3, and I believe that's it.
I mean, it sounds
if
right.
If that's the arena fighting game, it's actually a good fighter as far as reviews go. And if you're a Persona fan, it's got some like story elements to it that kind of tie into Persona 4 Golden and so
nice.
On.
Okay.
For the rest of the games, not really interested personally.
Okay.
But those are the three that stick out for me.
All right. What about the Xbox games with gold? Why don't you share what those are, and are there any of those that stand out to you as worth people's time?
Yeah. Go ahead and read the Xbox One ones first. We got Hand of Fate and Styx Master of Shadows. All right. So Hand of Fate, I actually bought. Not on day one, but like probably a few weeks after it came out. It's a pretty cool game. I haven't played it a lot, but I did enjoy the concept. It's a card game that, based off the cards that you play or you have in your hand, you then play them in an action RPG. So if
that's
the dealer,
interesting. I didn't know that. I thought it was just action RPG. That's kind of interesting.
No, it's got a card element. So if the dealer like puts down like, you know, a negative or a bonus, then when you're playing it out in the action RPG, it will have some type of effect on what's going on.
Okay.
So the cards actually affect the gameplay.
Well, I'll be downloading that for free on February 1st.
I was gonna
give it a try.
It's you've got the Xbox One now. Check it out. I think you would like it.
Cool.
Styx Masters of Shadow. I haven't played it a lot, but the Styx games aren't bad. This one I've heard is not bad either, so it's worth. I mean, it's worth free.
I didn't love it. It came out on PS Plus this past summer, and I didn't give it more than a few minutes. But maybe I was just not in that mood. But yeah, I didn't love it. But
you, like many PS4 owners, already have it. So do I. Xbox 360 is Sacred Citadel and Gears of War 2. Sacred Citadel, I kind of remember when it came out. I didn't play it, but it looks interesting. Mm-hmm. I actually looked it up, I think, today, just because I was like, I recognize the name, and I do remember considering buying it, but never did. So, again, it's free. I'm going to download it. Gears of War 2 I already have, but, again, if you don't have Gears, definitely worth getting it. And the cool thing about, I don't know if Tim knows this, anything that they release games with gold on the Xbox 360 is automatically a backwards compatible game. So
nice.
He'll be able to download Sacred Citadel and Gears of War 2 on his Xbox
One. Yeah,
so he basically got four
on
games.
That Major Nelson blog post where he announced these games, one of the things they're putting in their messaging now is, you know, if you have Xbox One, you could play all of these. And
yeah.
So I assumed that meant these are being added. If they're not already on the backwards compatible list, they're being added to it. That's what I said.
I think as soon as they become available free, they're already backwards compatible.
Very cool. See, another reason I'm excited about this Xbox One, because I'll play through Gears HD, and then even though Gears 2 isn't, you know, a revamped Xbox One title, I can still dive into that And again,
I will say from jumping into like Gears 2 and Gears 3, just to check them out, they really hold up.
Cool.
Like, they still look good. They still play good. So it's something you can definitely enjoy on your new Xbox One controller, which to me personally is better than a 360 controller.
For certain games, I would agree with that. Yeah, for certain games.
Ooh.
Certain games. Ooh. Future topic? Ooh. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I do actually like having conversations about joysticks.
Yeah. Stop it.
I mean, controllers.
Keep your joystick to yourself. All right, so if you are PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live subscribers, congratulations. You've got some free games heading your way here pretty soon. By the time this goes up, only a day or two out from when you're listening to this. All right, next big...
So yeah, go get your free games. Even
yeah,
if
download
they suck,
them.
Just get them.
And hey, both of those services, you can log in via web browser, log into your account, as long as you got your username and password, and you can begin the download from there. And add them to
yeah, because I don't have a PS3 anymore. Still working on getting it, but I'll log in the PSN and just download
yeah.
them from
just
there.
Just go to their website. You log in that way, and then download from the website. If you guys didn't know that, you've been missing out on a ton of free, well, quote unquote free, games you could have downloaded. So make sure you do that. All right, next big piece of news that's been talked about quite a bit, and me personally, I'm kind of tired of talking about this game, so I'm not really feeling up to digging into it too much. But the long and short of it is this. Mighty Number 9 has been delayed. It is not coming out on its, I believe it was supposed to be February 9th release date. It is now slated for spring 2016 due to network programming issues. There's some bugs in the system, and they're trying to make sure it's set up for all platforms. And there's a whole bunch about this that just bothers me. I totally understand wanting to get a game right before releasing it. But I don't know about you, but Mega Man games to me, there's nothing about a Mega Man game that says, make sure you've got an online multiplayer component to this. Like, that's just me personally. I would just...
No, I agree. As somebody who doesn't even like Mega Man games at all, I've heard many people say that they don't understand why they didn't just... I wouldn't say ditch the multiplayer, but maybe patch it in once you get it right.
Yeah.
But at least release your single player
like,
experience.
If that game, and I imagine it has to be, if that game, the single player experience, the story, the level design, the powers, you know, just all the basic game mechanics and then all the window dressing on top of it, that's got to be ready to go. And if it really is just bugs in the network for matchmaking, then that's why, to me, I feel a little bit annoyed by it. Like, I don't even want to hear about this game anymore until it's just out. Even when it's out, it's going to kind of annoy me when I see it in the store. And I'm not usually like that, but for some reason, the multiple delays and then the specific reasoning for this delay, it's just a little bit annoying. I'm empathetic to their team. I know they're working hard. You know, I just assume they're working hard and doing their best. I just personally really question their strategy behind this one and the reasoning for this delay. But anyway, I'm not a developer, so I don't know all those details. But from the outside looking in, it's one of those things that makes you kind of roll your eyes. So...
No, I've heard it's been delayed 3 or 4 times. It gets old.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about more fun things. Let's talk about Rocket League, a new game that we haven't discussed yet.
We've never talked
about that. You know what? I'm going to try to move through this quickly.
I was going to say, there's so much information, and
yeah.
I don't want people to get overwhelmed with Rocket League crap.
Feel free, though, if you want to jump in and add something to it, because this is very interesting what they're doing. So Rocket League, Psyonix is beginning what they're calling Season 2 here in February with Rocket League, and it coincides with the release on the Xbox One, which is really cool.
Do we know, like, the exact date of the Xbox
One? We don't. They keep saying February. I know. Yeah, and February is like now, almost. So, anyway, so these are things that are all coming in February. Now, to be fair, Psyonix has yet to miss a date of their DLC and their updates. When they say they're going to target a certain time period, they usually hit it. So... I trust them that sometime in February, we'll see these changes roll out. So here's what they're doing. They're revamping their ranking system. And if you're a current Rocket League player, you know their ranking system is complete BS. It's just garbage. So if you win a game and you win 10-1, you get the same amount of points than if you win a game barely in overtime. If you lose a game and you had 5 goals and your whole team stinks and you lost 6-5, you lose the same number of points than if you just lost 20-0. So the win-loss way that they did the ranking system was so off. It just wasn't quite right because it wasn't. You're not getting a personal rank. You're getting ranked based on how your team performs.
Exactly. Plus, if people, like I shared the story last week where 2 people ditched out on me in the first minute, so there was no way I was going to win that game.
But you still lose points for that.
And I lost points. Yeah. I got punished for it.
So here's what they're doing. They're changing the whole name of that ranked matchmaking. So in Rocket League, when you log in, you hit play online, you can either decide to play unranked, which is exactly what it sounds like. There's no points to be earned or lost. You can jump in and out of games with no penalty and all different kinds of modes, including crazy mutators and hockey mode and all that. That's just for fun, just with friends. And then there's what's called ranked mode, which includes, it's all competitive, you know, 1-on-1, 2-on-2, and then 3-on-3. And that's where you get your ranking points, and they go up or down. That's now going to be called competitive matchmaking. And unranked is going to be called filthy casual matchmaking. No, it's just going to be called just casual matchmaking. No more rank points. So what they've had before is they've had a skill ranking as well. And so they're totally getting rid of rank points altogether. And it's going to be a lot more about you individually and your skill. I don't know exactly how that's going to break down. But what they're going to have you do is when you first turn on the game and log in after the update, you're going to play through at least 10 online games minimum. And based on that, they're going to place you into one of 12 skill divisions. So in the past, their rankings had levels of bronze 1-2-3, silver 1-2-3, gold 1-2-3, and platinum. There's now 12 new ones to replace those old 10 ones, and they're each going to have their own icon. So now they're going to have prospect 1-2-3 and prospect elite, challenger 1-2-3 and challenger elite, and then they have a whole level that is basically its own individual name: rising star, all star, superstar, and champion. To me, all of those aren't really important. What's neat is that they're adding a little icon that will tell all users what rank they are. And so just like with Call of Duty and prestige levels, you're going to recognize over time how good that player is based on that little icon, that little skill division icon that's beside their name. So it's neat the way they're doing it. I like the thought process behind getting rid of the ranking system. They do say that Season 1 rankings will influence where you're placed in your skill division in addition to those 10 online games that you're supposed to play at the outset. But those divisions are going to be much easier to rank up, and they say it's going to be a little bit harder to rank down after a couple losses. So if you finally hit that division rank you're excited about, and then you lose three in a row because of whatever circumstances, it's not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose that ranking right away. So kind of some cool stuff. They're trying to make it more competitive and reward you more for your play and punish you less for the failures of others.
Sweet. So. Cool. I like that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right. Did you play the game Her Story?
No.
Have you heard of the game Her Story?
Yes. And even though it's not something I would typically like, it actually kind of intrigued me a little bit, but not enough to pay $2 for it.
Yeah, really unique game. I have not yet played it, and I really want to. But I like the idea of using live-action FMV sequences. Really cool game. And Sam Barlow, the designer of that game, has announced that he is working on a spiritual successor, more than a sequel. It's more of a spiritual successor. His story. I really hope it's his story. So he tweeted a one-pager about what he called the sequel to Her Story. But then apparently in some follow-up emails, he confirmed that it's more of a spiritual follow-up to that. And the idea is to use the FMV and that kind of investigative looking through files on a computer style of gameplay. So that's kind of neat for those of you who liked Her Story. All right. What about Halo 5? That's a game that I'm hoping to jump into at some point over the next few months with my new Xbox One system.
Yes, we'll have to co-op that one too. I really enjoyed it.
They have announced that the first set of community-made maps are now live. And cool. It's going to be in a playlist called Breakout. So you guys should check that out. Players can vote on their favorites. And I'm not sure how long that voting is going to take place. I think several weeks. And then the winners of those player votes will stick around permanently in that Breakout playlist. So make sure you check that out.
That's pretty cool. I like how they're involving the community. That's really cool.
All right. BioWare writer David Gator is leaving the company to pursue a new challenge. He was the lead writer on games like Dragon Age, Inquisition, and Knights of the Old Republic. So he's been a mainstay at BioWare for years, and he just left the company. So that's pretty big news, especially for someone like you who loves BioWare.
Yeah, but I don't get bent out of shape over stuff like that because I figure he's probably, I don't know, to me, there's only so much you can do, and getting somebody fresh in there to maybe write a new story, script, whatever, might be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, at a certain point, whether it's a game like Call of Duty that some developers have to work on year in and year out, or even if it's stuff like BioWare where they get to be a lot more creative and it's almost like cinema in some ways, the way they have to craft things, even that can be draining and you want to just try something different. Maybe he's going to do something non-gaming related. Who knows? So
yeah.
Talented writer. I know he did break down some walls in some of the writing that he's done. So wishing him the best. I don't really know him personally, but hope that turns out well for him.
Knights of the Old Republic had an amazing story.
Oh, it really did.
Yeah. Inquisition is good, has some nice twists at the end, but because the game's so big, it's not even close to something like Knights of the Old Republic.
I love Dragon Age Inquisition. Game of the year.
That's something, you know, we should really talk about in a future episode. In fact, we should write it down right now. Is we should talk about if open world big games are hurting narrative driven, like hurting narrative stories. Because I know I absolutely loved the first Dragon Age. It's, you know, it's an open area game, but it's not open world.
Okay.
And they were able to tell a good story from place to place. Everywhere you were going, you were advancing in the story. I feel like all these open world games have really, really hurt a lot of narratives and stories that I used to love from certain franchises.
But I think that could be said, that's very accurate for a game like Far Cry, especially Far Cry 4. And I think 3 was guilty of this too.
And I would say that about Metal Gear Solid 5.
And well, in some ways. Yeah, you're right. In some ways, that's true, especially with the way they broke up the story with all the helicopter rides. But especially with games like Far Cry 4, they give you so much to do and create such an interesting world. And even though there is a story that runs throughout that game that kind of pushes things along, by the time I got back to the story missions, I had done so much in between. I was like, what are we doing again? Oh, yeah, there's... Okay, got it. Like, I got to pick who to support. So, anyway, I think that's an interesting topic. I say we revisit it. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's something we could get feedback either on our website or even go to our Facebook. Just so you know, we are real active in a group called Platinum Achievement, so we get a lot of feedback from a lot of our friends there. So that's something we could definitely post about, yeah. See what their take is on it, whether they think I'm an idiot, which most of them do, or if they actually agree with me. I do think, I'm coming out and saying, I do think a lot of these big open world games are actually hurting a strong narrative story. Like even The Witcher 3, I loved it. It has a good story, but it was hurt by how big it was compared to The Witcher 2. For me personally, I actually enjoyed The Witcher 2's story and narrative more than I enjoyed The Witcher.
And that's 3's. Probably because it's much more linear. I mean, I can't even think of many times in Witcher 2 where I could do whatever I wanted. I know they were there.
Yeah, it was, really. That's kind of... The Witcher 2 was kind of like Dragon Age Origins, where it was like they would put you in open areas, but yeah. It was open world. Yeah. So you could go places, but it wasn't this big, huge world where you get distracted, lost, confused.
Yep.
So I do think, while I do like open world games, I do think they're kind of hurting something that I really loved about video games.
You know, that actually made me think, I'm just going to say, I know we're not really talking about this right now, but that reminds me of what I loved so much about the Final Fantasy games. At least, I would say Final Fantasy 6 through, let's say, 10, where... Mm-hmm. It's very linear in terms of story, like go here and do this. But then all of them, in some way, shape, or form, open up and allow you to go to whatever village you want, to whatever city you want, to whatever dungeon you want to, if you need to recruit some side character or find that secret weapon or whatever it is. All those Final Fantasy games do open up at some point, and some earlier than others. And I kind of liked that. I remember back in the day never thinking of those as open world games, but as I look back at them, they all become open world at a certain point, but that's not until they drive you forward far enough in the narrative for it to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's do that. Let's dig into that in a future episode. That'd be a nice topic to cover.
Episode 5.654320000.
Yeah, which is 4 episodes away. Don't ask me why. Here's some news from Sony. This is really boring news, but it's worth mentioning. Sony has merged their hardware, software, and network divisions into a single company. They are now called Sony Interactive Entertainment. And President and Global CEO Andrew House will be leading that single company, that single entity based out of San Mateo, California. I guess a few interesting points if you're interested in this kind of thing. They're headquartered now in California as opposed to what I think used to be mostly out of Japan with a headquarters in USA. So that's kind of interesting, I suppose. But from what they've said in their announcement, it's not changing the position or the responsibility of some of the people that we all know about, especially guys like Shuhei or Sean Layton. Those guys apparently are still going to have very similar type responsibilities. They're just restructuring what it's all called. So
nice.
That goes into effect on April 1st, and it will affect nobody. All right, last piece of news. Some news has come out regarding Homefront the Revolution. And I believe we talked about this already in one of our episodes, about how that's been detailed and it's coming out in May. But some more details about the game itself have emerged. The first one being that is they are saying, they are kind of touting and proud of what they're calling a very challenging multiplayer campaign. Dam Buster Studios is the developer, and they are describing it as the Dark Souls of shooters. I find that to be a really interesting comparison because I don't think of shooter at all when I think of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
But they also describe it as, you know, many times in the multiplayer campaign, you're going to find yourselves, your team is going to find themselves facing overwhelming odds, and it's going to take really careful planning and strategy and teamwork to escape alive. So I like the way that sounds. That sounds cool. But I've also heard big promises like that on games before, whether it's with challenge or with scope.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. Is like when I read that, I was like, awesome. I'm actually really, really, really intrigued. But then I'm like, well, who's Dam Buster? And if you go to Wikipedia, and I don't know a lot about these guys, but the games that they're developed is Homefront the Revolution. They've done nothing. So,
well, I'm sure they've got people on the team that have experience.
Yeah, of course, because of everything that's happened with Crytek and all that stuff.
Right, right.
I'm sure they have a lot of experience, but still, that's a big... I mean, Dark Souls is... I don't know, that's a big name to attach to a shooter.
See, I didn't know that about Dam Buster Studios, that they were brand new. So now that I'm thinking about it, just my initial reaction off the top of my head is maybe they shouldn't have said anything and just put out a shooter that people could eventually compare to. Hey, this multiplayer is like the Dark Souls of shooters.
But you know what? This is Deep Silver who's publishing this, and Deep Silver likes to over-exaggerate things before they're released to get attention.
Okay.
We talked about Dead Island and their advertisement. That's all Deep Silver.
Well, they also announced there's going to be microtransactions in the game, and I guess that was already known, but they wanted to clarify some things. One of the biggest things is just to let people know that these are not shortcuts. Oh, no, sorry. I'm sorry. These are just shortcuts. These are not pay to win. It's just shortcuts to content that's already going to be available to unlock in normal play. So none of it is going to be behind a paywall completely. It's just you can unlock things earlier if you pay the microtransactions. And they're saying they're not planning on any kind of season pass. Basically, they plan on releasing over a year's worth of DLC over time. And that's going to be for free.
Yeah, there's several things that they're saying about this game. I was already interested because Homefront has an interesting concept already. It does things a little bit different than your normal military-style shooter. So the first thing is calling it the Dark Souls of shooters. I'm intrigued. Not that I like really, really hard games, but I believe they're trying to do something different here than, say, a Call of Duty or a Battlefield. So that already intrigues me.
Okay.
Then you have the fact that it supports co-op in I think it's the story part of the game. So you can play like the single player, but you can play it co-op. So that really intrigues me, especially since we have a lot of buddies that play games now. That would be a selling point for me.
Yeah.
And then the last thing was the fact that they came out and said, all right, well, we're going to support this game with some DLC, even if it's just basic DLC, not story-driven or anything like that. The fact that they're going to give it to you for free makes me happy. So they're doing the right things. They're saying the right things. I'm very intrigued. Yeah. It is definitely a game I plan on getting day one. The only way I would stop is this is one of the few games that I would probably start searching for reviews. get some feedback. I don't normally go to reviews. I don't care about most people's opinions because obviously my opinions don't match up with a lot of people.
Oh, man.
But for a game like this, I would not want to buy a pile of garbage. And the first Homefront, while it wasn't complete garbage, it also wasn't very good.
Well, with the brand new developer at the helm, I think waiting for some feedback is probably the wise move.
Yep. And with that being said, I will go pre-order it.
You're pre-ordering it now. I just heard you.
Jeez. Oh, clickety click click.
All right, so there's been some game announcements since we last chatted, so I wanted to share a few of those with you. One in particular that was just announced, I believe, today. Have you heard of this game, Conan Exiles? Did you read about this one?
I didn't read about it, but I did see like a picture of it.
So yeah, it looks... Well, let me just read about it. I'm just going to read you what they told us. So developer Funcom, they're the ones who are putting this out. It's coming for PC and what they just describe as quote-unquote consoles. Early access begins on Steam this summer with launch date, what they say, to follow. So I think the goal is 2016. Remains to be seen if they actually hit that. All right, so Conan Exiles. Here's their description from the developer Funcom. An open-world survival game in the brutal lands of Conan the Barbarian. You are an exile, one of thousands cast out to fend for themselves in a barbaric wasteland swept by terrible sandstorms and besieged on every side by enemies. Here you must fight to survive, build, and dominate. Hungry, thirsty, and alone, your very first battle is that against the harsh environment. Grow crops and hunt animals for food, harvest resources to build weapons and tools, build a shelter to survive. Ride across the vast world and explore alone or band together with other players to build an entire settlement and stronghold to withstand fierce invasions. When strong enough, march forth into battle, sounds so epic, and wage war against your enemies as you fight to dominate the exiled lands. Sacrifice enemy players on the altars of the gods and shift the balance of power your way. Unleash your fury in savage, fast-paced combat and execute bloody and bone-crushing attacks that will see heads rolling and limbs flying. Sounds like a good family game. Survive, build, and dominate. You can play alone in single player or forge alliances and make enemies online, both public and private servers. Will you dominate exiled lands or will your enemies sacrifice you on the altar of their god? So it's very, the first word that comes to mind to me, ambitious.
Yeah.
Very ambitious. And I'm okay with that. I like to see a company, and I don't know much about Funcom, but I like to see a company stepping out and, you know, trying something really crazy and big. It sounds like a big game. And it sounds like a combination of something like a Rust or DayZ or some of these other like multiplayer Ark survival games that they've put out, Ark. It sounds like a combination of that and then maybe something that's a little more, like we've talked about already, open world multiplayer. Like, you know, those Far Cries and Dying Lights of the World. So who knows how this will actually play. They didn't really specify if it's first person or third person, but we know it's supposed to be kind of gritty, dangerous. There's even going to be altars you can sacrifice other players on to their gods. That promises to be disturbing. So there you go. Keep an eye out for Conan Exiles as info for that one comes out.
Before you jump into the next one, I just wanted to talk about Titanfall 2 real quick. Which, Titanfall by the way, you should get Titanfall on the Xbox One. You could probably get it for $5. But I was just reading an article, and Titanfall 2 is scheduled to launch during EA's fiscal year 2017, which basically means it's coming out in between April 1st, 2016 and March 31st, 2017, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but here's my thing. I'm thinking this game might be one of those that you hear about on E3 or get more details on E3 and then maybe have a release or launch date of fall 2016.
That would be amazing, and I don't believe it would happen. I feel like Titanfall 2 is going to be announced way too early.
I don't know, because Titanfall... Making it, Titanfall took a while to make because they had to create something new.
Right.
Now they have it in place. To me, it shouldn't take as long to make Titanfall 2. All you're going to do is make it bigger, better, and badder, right?
And add a campaign, probably, because that was the biggest drawback.
Yeah, I think they're going to add a campaign. They're going to have to up-res the graphics because Titanfall is not an ugly game, but it's not gorgeous. They got to definitely up that up. but and then they have to add more content, because that was another thing that they were like, okay, you're selling me this multiplayer only game, but it lacks the content that you would get in a Call of Duty or something like that. Okay. But anyways, even though I'm not a big multiplayer shooter fan, I really liked Titanfall. And Titanfall 2, the thought of it coming out maybe this year is pretty sweet. But we'll definitely hear more about it in E3.
Can we add that to your list of predictions, one of them being Destiny 2 and then the other one being Titanfall 2?
I'm doing great with Destiny 2 because I then read an article saying Destiny 2 is not happening this year, that it's getting postponed, and that they're just going to release like a different
expansion. And they got more big DLC packs coming out for Destiny 1.
So. Yeah, and you know what? Destiny's losing me, man. And The Division might kill off Destiny, because as a big Destiny fan, I had no interest in the speeder bike races and all this free DLC that they're dropping. It's none of it's interesting. So I'm playing the same content over and over and over. And while I'm not going to complain about that, because that's what I've been doing for a year and a half, and I enjoy the grinding and the upgrading and all that, I still want something else. And I was hoping Destiny 2 would be that they would be like, basically, we're going to take what we did with Destiny and we're just going to make it so much better. And we're going to double the content, all of that. And they didn't. So I'm getting to that point where I'm like, well, I'm done. It's hard for me to even log into it.
All right, well, then we don't have to hold you to your Destiny 2 prediction, but if this, what you're saying about Titanfall 2 is even anywhere remotely close to being true, then I'll have to give you major props for that one.
Yes, put it for fall 2016.
Alrighty. A couple other games that have been announced. Valkyria Chronicles is coming to the PS4 in North America. Woo-hoo! It is a tactical RPG set in World War II. Well, it's a World War II inspired story. And it's going to have a launch edition that includes collectible Squad 7 armored case, which sounds awesome. And it's coming this spring for $30. So since it was a PS3 game and it is a re-release, it's going to be discounted. So look out for that if you are into tactical RPGs, which I super am.
Yeah, it's a good game. I didn't beat it or anything like that, but I own it on PC and PS3, and it's really well done.
Breath of Fire 3, the PS Classic, the PlayStation 1 Classic, is coming out in February this year for $9.99. So if you are into that era of Super Nintendo through PlayStation 1 RPGs, check out Breath of Fire 3. I remember playing that with my friend a long time ago. I just remember certain characters, the way they look. So pretty cool little game. Or maybe it's a big game. I can't remember, but it's a cool game. Oh, one other side note with Breath of Fire. It sounds like the first mainline Breath of Fire in over 15 years is scheduled to come out. It's called Breath of Fire 6. And I got excited about it until I saw the end of that announcement, and that is, it's coming out on Android and iOS.
That's dumb.
So interest lost. Sorry if you're a mobile gamer and that's your thing. If you can, if anyone out there plays that game and says this is actually a great, deep JRPG that works great on mobile, please let me know and convince me otherwise. But right now I'm like, oh, never mind. They might as well not made it, because it's not going to exist in my world. All right, this next game sounds absolutely hilarious. It's called Coffin Dodgers. It's coming out to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One this spring. Wow. They describe it as a darkly funny kart racer. There's a link on there, Derek, if you want to click on it and look at it. It looks hilarious. So here's the premise. Mr. Grim Reaper is the new resident at Sunny Pines Retirement Village, and when residents realize he's there to capture souls, they decide to stop his evil plans with a series of mobility scooter races to the death. That's right. Mobility scooter races to the death. They're saying it's kind of a road rash style combat racing with weapons including, but not limited to, the defibrillator, an umbrella, a rolling pin, and a walking cane, and many, many other weapons that you might find in a retirement village.
So, okay, this is kind of funny because, and this goes back a long time ago when I was a big like Mario Kart fan.
Yeah.
I actually told my friends that I thought it would be hilarious if they made a kart racer with like old people in their like, you know, Target carts.
You actually said that? Like that was an idea you had?
Yeah, that's serious. With their canes and they're all cranky and throwing stuff at people. Like that was like I didn't have a clue that Coffin Dodgers
is a thing. Someone heard your idea. Someone was nearby, heard it.
So that sounds like this is a day one for me.
Here's the drawback. You need to rein your excitement back a little bit. They have not announced online multiplayer for this at all. Right now, it's only 2-4 player local co-op.
Suck it.
And when asked directly about online multiplayer, their responses are always, "We're really looking forward to people having fun with this local couch co-op." Like, it's just, they haven't written it off, but they also haven't directly said, "Hey, we're working on it. It's coming." Like, they haven't said anything about online. So I was excited, and now that's disappointing. I don't know. I'm going to wait to see. If they do online multiplayer, this is going to be a hard one to pass up, especially if it comes out at a discount. It sounds like a fun game. So,
yeah, I was looking at the pictures. It looks cool. But,
yeah. But the online thing is killer these days.
Yeah.
Electronic Super Joy is, I believe, already out on the Wii U and PC and iOS, and it is coming out on the Xbox One. It is a M-rated platformer. The developer describes it as a symphony of pixelated violence, over-the-top innuendo, and rage-inducing game design. Released on the PC in 2013 and the Wii U this past fall, and this past week it came out on Xbox One. So check it out if that description tickles your fancy.
Looking at a picture of it, it's the biggest nope ever. It's so freaking ugly and stupid.
You didn't have to look at it. It actually describes it as pixelated.
Yeah, violence. But it said mature. I wanted to give it a chance.
Yeah. All right. Necropolis comes out on March 17th, 2016. That's this year on the PC. It was announced in 2014, and people have been talking about it for a while, but they've been quiet about it since then. It's described as a stylish, procedurally generated dungeon adventure inspired, yet again, by Dark Souls.
Oh, my gosh.
So check out Necropolis if that rings... For some reason, that rings any interest bells.
So, just so everybody knows, Tim and I are actually—I mean, we do this podcast, but we're actually creating a game on the side.
Yeah,
and it's inspired by Dark Souls.
It is. Yep.
So you guys should check out that game because I said Dark Souls.
It's called Father of the Dark Souls. No, that doesn't make any sense.
Grind on my Dark
Souls. Grind the souls. Grind. No, I'm not. I'm going to stop because we're going to go down a really bad road here.
Let's just do Dark Fathers of the Grind My Souls.
Grinding on the Dark Father Souls. That doesn't sound good either.
Yeah, whatever. grinding doesn't sound good in anything. We've had several complaints about our Fathers of the Grind.
We've only had one person complain several times. So if you want to count that as several complaints, this person, you know who you are. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, whoever came up with the name is an idiot.
Yep. Go back to episode 0 to find out who that was. No, that's episode 2.
Yeah, 0 to 2, yeah.
One day we will go back and make episode 1.
Can we go back to episode 0 and edit out the 0 part and put 1?
But I want to make it really obvious. Hey guys, welcome to episode 1 of Fathers of the Grind. Make it real obvious. All right. Platinum has finally revealed and shown off the first trailer for the TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. Stylish and fast-paced action game. The visuals, I think, look really sharp, kind of like a comic book. I would describe it kind of like, if you remember A Wolf Among Us, the way those visuals looked, but even sharper and crisper and more in an action setting as opposed to that adventure style.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the textures and the way the characters look kind of remind me of one of the higher quality Telltale games like A Wolf Among Us.
So is this what Platinum does now? They're just taking like all the 80s cartoon shows and just making action games out of them? They did it with Transformers, in case you don't know where I'm going.
I guess. I mean, it's coming out this summer on all systems. It's published by Activision, so they're getting the funding they need. You know,
I'm not going to freak out like I've heard like Colin and some other... Colin from Beyond... From PS I Love You and was part of Beyond... freak out about Platinum. They're taking on too much. But I have to say, Platinum is creating a lot of games at once, and I don't think they're that big of a studio. So it's got to make you wonder how they're popping all these games out, and they're not even that big of a studio.
Well, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, Legend of Korra was their most recent licensed game, and it was not received amazingly.
That one was crap. Transformers did pretty good.
Or maybe Transformers is more recent than that. Yeah.
Yeah, Transformers came out after Legends of Korra.
Okay. So I take that back.
And it reviewed solid. Like, a lot of people liked it. They said it was just too short. I have a feeling that's the same thing you're going to get with TMNT. You're going to get probably a 4 to 6 hour campaign. campaign.
Okay.
With silliness, but amazing combat. Because they're just going to, all they're doing is just recreating everything they've already done.
Yeah,
and
to
just
me,
putting new skin on it.
The Ninja Turtles to me are just one of those guilty pleasure franchises or IPs. Like everything from.
Oh, I'm going to buy it.
Everything from the movies they put out to the games they make to even some of the TV shows that my boys like to watch, I've watched with them a little bit. Like, it's just one of those guilty pleasure things. It's super cheesy. It's just fun, though. I like that. I like the villains. I like the cheesy banter. So
I liked the last movie. I'm looking forward to the new one. And
I liked it, except their faces looked creepily human in some ways.
Yeah,
they
didn't
the design
like that.
Wasn't great. But the movie itself, I kind of equate it to the G.I. Joe movie. Like, it had its moments, and it had some, like, hey, I played with those toys when I was a kid. That's kind of cool type of a moment, you know.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I like the G.I. Joe, too. I guess I just accept that I know they're cheesy,
yeah.
So I enjoy the action scenes.
If your expectations are in the right place, you can enjoy it. Absolutely.
Pretty much.
All right, this next one should interest you. Capcom has announced Umbrella Corps coming out this May on PC and PS4. This is a Resident Evil spinoff. It's a competitive shooter with a variety of modes, including single-player mission modes and a wave-based survival mode. So for those of you who like Resident Evil, you've got yourself an, it sounds like more of an arcadey competitive shooter as compared to like a survival puzzle horror type of a thing.
I wonder why this is not coming out on the Xbox One. It's weird.
If it is, then I apologize to everyone for not including that, but I could not find any info out there after doing some serious Google research.
No, I'm on GameSpot's website, and it says, Capcom has announced Umbrella Corps, a competitive shooter set in the Resident Evil universe, will launch in May for PlayStation 4 and PC.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean,
there you go.
It might come out later. I just find it odd that it's, you know, Capcom's the one that's releasing Street Fighter V only on the PS4. What is going on?
Jeez.
Capcom's real weird because Dead Rising 3 is a Xbox One console exclusive because, yes, you can buy it on PC. So that's weird. I just find that to be weird.
Yeah, that is a little confusing. Maybe it'll come out, though. Who knows?
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
Love Resident Evil.
Yep.
I have no problem doing stuff on the side. You don't have to, it doesn't all Resident Evil games. I'm not one of those that's like, they all have to be like Resident Evil 1 and 2. No. I'm fine with them being action shooters, but Raccoon City was the worst game I ever bought on day one.
Wow.
And played and beat and hated.
Wow.
I don't own it anymore. I played it and beat it in like 5 to 6 hours, and I sold it for, I want to say, $40 or $44.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good return on your money.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
But I was angry that it was that terrible. So it scares me. I'm curious who's actually, maybe you actually read it and I zoned you out because your voice makes me zone you out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just curious. I know Capcom's publishing it, but who is developing it?
That's a good question. It was announced by Capcom, so yeah, you're right. Clearly they're publishing it. It's their IP. I don't think they specified.
Ooh, here's another concern. As I scroll down, Umbrella Corps will be available digitally and will cost $29.99. Why does that scare me? Is this is not seen as a $60 game. Which makes me feel like it's just going to be some half-ass, quick Resident Evil skinned game just to make a buck.
Yeah.
Because they know they can make money off just putting Resident Evil on the box. It already has me intrigued, and I don't even know much about it. Just because they put Resident Evil on
it. So you can criticize it, but it's working.
Yeah, I'll still buy it.
It's working. Yeah, so we'll see about that one, but they just announced that this past week.
Maybe I'll let you buy it.
Also announced this week is RBI Baseball 16.
Nope.
Coming out for the PC and what they describe as next-gen consoles. So I can assume Xbox One and PS4.
So Xbox 2, PlayStation 5, and...
Yeah, those are the next-gen consoles. You're right.
Knowing Nintendo, right. It'll be Nintendo Wii and X.
Yeah, so let's hold them to the actual definition of their description of next-gen consoles. And we'll expect it in the spring of 2021. It's coming out for $20, though. So if you're a baseball fan and you're looking for a budget title...
I think the last one was terrible. I think it reviewed horribly.
It did not review very well. So keep an eye out for reviews on this. Who knows? Maybe they made the improvements necessary. But yep, that comes out this spring. Speaking of sports, here's a really weird one. Blade Ballet, coming out for the PS4 in the spring. Blade Ballet is a local multiplayer dance to the death. Players take control of whirling robots armed with laser swords and slash each other to bits. Each bot will have unique special abilities, and players will be able to battle across many different arenas. So Dream Sail Games is developing the game, and they are working to have an online multiplayer mode ready for launch. Previously did not have one on the PC. So there you go. Blade Ballet. People are so weird.
Could that be on one of our like weird games list?
It should be. Blade Ballet. Yeah, you're whirling robots doing all these like whatever ballet, maybe even ice skating looking moves. I don't know. Who knows? All right. Speaking of weird games, here's another weird one. Dangerous Golf has been announced for the PlayStation 4, coming out May 2016. Yes, it looks weird, and yes, I'm interested in at least seeing some videos of this game in action. So this game is a golf game, but it's made by a team of former Burnout devs. It's their first game as a team.
Sold.
And they describe the game. Here's how they describe it, and I think this is a perfect description. As serious as the Burnout series was to actual racing, that's how serious this game is to actual golf. And I think that's a perfect description. Apparently, it's not really about getting the ball in the actual hole. It's more about how much destruction can you cause with each hit. So there's going to be over 100 holes. A lot of them are indoors, which is kind of cool. And a variety of power shots, trick shots, ways you can continue to blow stuff up and just demolish the environment. So that game looks interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how that's received because, yeah, the Burnout games were a lot of fun for all the reasons that they're describing. Dangerous Golf should be fun. Destruction.
Yeah, I'll definitely get that one day one.
LiveLock Lands, coming to PS4 sometime in 2016. It is a fast-paced cooperative top-down shooter based in a post-human world where machines are waging an infinite war against each other.
No.
Okay, moving on. Organic Panic. So we got LiveLock Lands with robots, and now we got Organic Panic with things that are living. Coming to Xbox One, PS4. It's already out on PC, so you can check it out on Steam if you're curious what it's all about. Comes out this spring. And by the way, little side note, I feel like there's too many of these little games coming out this spring.
What's weird is I was just going to say, and I know you listen to PSI Love You like I do, and Colin went on a little bit of a tangent or rant about the fact that he's a little concerned that our PSN and Xbox Live stores are going to turn into nothing more than an Android or an
iTunes, the App Store.
The App Store.
Yeah, I think he might be right. Yeah.
I think it's becoming so easy to create small games because there's so many software out there that you can use that you can easily create a game. And now all you have to do is get it approved and sold. And I think Sony and Microsoft are just not being extremely strict on what they sell or what they're putting up on the store.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, in my mind, until we can all point at a very clear-cut, dramatic drop in quality, I don't think there's any reason to be concerned. I do think there are so many of these games are still, like, if you pay $5 or $10 for one of these, for the most part, they're competent enough games to be worth what they're asking. So I'm actually okay with there being a large volume of games. The downside there is that certain games that are decent will get buried among all the many, 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 many other games. But that being said, I haven't noticed the complete shovelware that we saw on the Wii and that we now see with, you know, the App Store and the Android Store. So until, you know, kind of the general consensus is, wow, most of this is complete garbage, I'm not too concerned, but it is something that's kind of making me raise my eyebrows a little bit. Like, huh, there's a lot of games right now, and a lot of them are being ported over from the PC that never would have come to consoles. Yeah. That's kind of weird. All right, two more quick announcements. Number one, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance is now available on the Virtual Console on the Wii U for $7.99. I love that game. I really wish it were coming to the 3DS because it is a portable game. It was on the Game Boy Advance. It makes sense to me to be on a portable system. But it is what it is. They've been putting out several Game Boy Advance games on the Wii U Virtual Console. So that's fine. If you haven't played that game, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Great turn-based strategy RPG. Really like that one. And last but not least, Insomniac has finally announced their new game, and it is called Song of the Deep. It's releasing this summer on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And they describe it as a Metroidvania-style underwater adventure starring a young girl named Marin. You can upgrade your submarine ship and solve puzzles while unlocking new abilities as you search for your father. He's a fisherman who was lost to the depths. Here's an interesting note for this game. As cool as that sounds to me, like, I'm totally in. Metroidvania-style underwater game? Yep, sign me up. But here's something interesting. GameStop is publishing this game.
That's weird.
Insomniac Games is the developer. They're going to own the IP. GameStop will not be in charge of the IP moving forward, but they are going to handle the marketing and distribution of the game in terms of the publishing side of things.
This is really smart by GameStop, by the way.
The only physical copies will be available at their stores. Of course, you can still download it digitally, and since they're handling the marketing and all those other things, I imagine, just like any publisher, they'll be reaping the benefits of the sales digitally, and they'll definitely reap the benefits the physical copies, because no one else can sell it physically.
Yeah, this is what they're doing to save themselves. Because even though I don't think we're going to be all digital in a year or two, I do think we are eventually going to go to the point where we're...
It'll happen.
All digital. And
yeah, it'll happen.
I think GameStop's going to do stuff like this to stay relevant.
I mean, you and I are getting closer to that, too, just as, you know, normal everyday gamers and a lot of our listeners, too. Everyone's starting to shift towards digital, just in terms of availability, the ease of purchase, and in a lot of cases, the price.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, at first, I was against digital because I do like having the game, but also because I use Gamers Club Unlocked, which I'm actually coming up on March is when my Gamers Club Unlocked is going to expire, and I thought for sure that would be something I would keep forever, and now I'm questioning, do I really want to keep it, because I just don't buy physical copies anymore. And when I do buy a physical copy...
Well, that, and plus you've got enough other things available to you to help save that same amount of money. Like, even, for example, Amazon is doing similar deals and other places, too.
I'd rather have Best Buy.
Yeah,
because I don't use Prime.
Oh, okay.
But technically, since I would only get Prime to buy games from them for 20% off, it's actually cheaper to go with GCU. But what I was trying to say is, at this point, digital's more convenient. I like to be able to switch from game to game with ease without having to get up. And to be honest with you, the hardest part is not getting up because I'm fat and lazy. It's just finding my games. Like, oh, where did I put this one? I don't even know where it's at. You know, and then also game sharing. I mean, GameStop, Best Buy, Walmart, none of them could compete with me getting either a free game, or if you look at it this way, every game you buy, I buy one, we're basically going halves.
Yeah.
$30 per game.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can't, unless you're doing PC, you cannot buy a console game day one, brand new, for $30.
Yep, that's so true.
So that was really when I was like, I'm full on for digital. I don't have to worry about scratch discs. I don't have to worry about losing them. The only downside is I can't trade stuff in. But again, if I'm only paying on average $30 to $40 per AAA brand new title, it's not that bad. I mean, that's basically what I was doing when I was trading stuff in.
Yeah.
You know, I would buy a game for $50, trade it in for $40. So it was like, oh, I'm only taking a $10 loss. But then I'd eventually buy the game back, and my net would be about $30 or $40.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think there's drawbacks and there's bonuses to going all digital.
I said, I think this is GameStop's way of staying relevant.
Right.
And they're gonna do that by they're gonna continue to keep putting their hands into the business in all types of way.
And this is the first time that I've...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they became a publisher.
Yeah, it's the first time I've thought, that's a smart move. I mean, you said that earlier. That's a pretty smart move by GameStop. That's the first time I've thought that. I mean, they tried to kind of start digging into retro game collectors, you know, like trying to say, hey, we'll buy your old systems, and trying to become a little bit of that type of a store. And I was kind of shaking my head at that, like, no, you're too little too late, GameStop. Like, there's already enough dealers and online retailers for that kind of thing.
This is hilarious. So I'm in my email while we're doing this, and GameStop sent me a promotion email, and it's for that game.
There you go.
The entire email is about that game only.
Song of the Deep. There you go. I'm interested in the game anyway.
Not interested in it at all.
I like what Insomniac does. The visuals for this look pretty cool. The setting looks pretty cool. I like the idea of going underwater. I like Metroidvania and Castlevania style games. So I'm interested. And GameStop publishing it to me is still one of the most interesting things about this whole thing. Is this going to be the way that retailers start to lean in the future? Who knows? All right. I wanted to share with you, Mr. Derek Teague, a few games I think you've probably never heard of. One of them sounds like an interesting game that might be worth a look, whether it's for you or for someone listening. The other one sounds like the most absurd, offensive, insane game I've heard of in my life.
Sounds good.
So don't read too far ahead in the notes there. All right. So number one, there's a game out on PC called Crashlands. And I read an article on Kotaku that describes it as an action RPG with the elements of crafting and base building. So they basically compared it to Diablo and Don't Starve, like a combination of those two games. In terms of action RPG and the depth and the way you can customize your character, the strengths, as well as crafting, base building, survival of a game like Don't Starve. So it's $14.99 on Steam. It came out on January 21st. It's getting pretty decent response overall from what I've seen. So for those of you who have a PC and you got Steam, go check out Crashlands, especially if you are fans of Diablo and Don't Starve. Sounds like this is a game worth looking at. So that's number one. Pretty straightforward recommendation. Nothing special about that. It just might be a game you haven't heard of.
Yeah.
All right. Here's this other one. This is the most insane game I've ever heard of in my entire life. Speaking of ridiculous game ideas, this will be on our list next week too. This game's called Who's Your Daddy? Which is, for those of you who have heard you're listening to the show, you heard the opening. We have the opening line of Arnold from Kindergarten Cop using that line, Who's Your Daddy? That's the actual name of this game. It's on PC. It is literally a baby-killing game.
What?
Yeah, I like that pregnant pause there. That was good. So this is a multiplayer simulation game. One player is the baby, doing everything that this baby can within its baby powers to try to injure or hurt itself with dangerous household items and other appliances. The other player is the dad, or maybe there's a mom option too, I'm not sure, trying to quickly childproof the home and stop the baby from hurting itself. I mean, this is the game. It's basically a 1v1 match of one of you is the infant, one of you is the parent, and it's called Who's Your Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
It's in early access on Steam right now. It looks like the most insane thing. And apparently the reviews on it alone, I was reading through the reviews, are hilarious. So I recommend, again, even if you don't have Steam, open up the Steam store on your browser, look for Who's Your Daddy, and read about this game. It's actually insane. I imagine you've never heard of that game, but anyway, go read about it. It's crazy.
No, it sounds like day one pre-order.
Day one pre-order, that's right. I can't believe a game like this exists.
I'll probably play it with the kids.
Yeah.
Probably play that.
One of the screenshots in the article I was reading actually showed the baby in the oven.
Gosh, it's terrible.
The graphics aren't amazing. It looks somewhere. It almost looks kind of like The Sims when you zoom in real close, but not even as colorful or as good as The Sims. So,
jeez.
All right. Weird games. All right, man. Before we close out, do you have any deals you want to share with our listeners? Anything that they should be looking out for in terms of saving some money?
Yeah, I've got... I brought up cheap-ass gamers. Mainly, I focus, like I said, on Best Buy. I don't really worry about everybody else just because I feel like they give you the best value on deals with their 20% off. Right now, going into next week, so starting Sunday... So when you listen to this either Sunday or Monday, the deals will be live. They're going to have Just Cause 3 for $49.99. Again, 20% off, it would be $40. Assassin's Creed Syndicate will be $39.99. Again, $32 with your Gamers Club unlocked. Madden's the same price. Rise of the Tomb Raider's the same price. I definitely suggest you get that because you have Gamers Club unlocked, so it would only be $32.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Forza Motorsport 6 will be $32 with the Gamers Club unlocked. I thought this was pretty interesting. Rainbow Six Siege has already dropped to $39.99. And I don't even know what Digimon's Story Cyber Sleuth is. It's available Tuesday for $59.99. Sounds like a game that I would totally love, though.
Right up your alley.
So those are the game deals. Not much going on, but again, if you know somebody who's recently bought an Xbox One, I've been noticing a lot of their first party games have been selling around $40 a piece. So if you know anybody that's got an Xbox One that just got one.
I looked up Rainbow Six Siege real quick just to see their sales numbers, because you mentioned that the price drop is surprising. You're right. It's been out for 5 weeks, 6 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And for it to already see that kind of decrease is surprising. And just a quick Google search, I put Rainbow Six Siege sales numbers, and most of the articles are already talking about how it's not selling well, but it deserves better, and here's why. Like, it's that type of article. Mm. So I don't see the sales numbers here. I know it didn't chart for the month of December, as far as I know. So, yeah, I did play a little bit of Rainbow Six Siege. And I think it's a decent competitive shooter game. And I know there's a lot of people who love it. So, yeah, if you're waiting for that price drop and you were curious about it.
I mean, I haven't played it a lot because, I don't know, just haven't played it a lot. But the little bit I've played, I've actually enjoyed. It's a good game. Yeah.
It is good. It's solid. It's really, I like the modes. I like the, it just feels different than a game like, you know, you obviously would compare it to a Call of Duty or Battlefront. It's just different. Totally different type of game. Also, did you mention deals with gold?
No.
Or the PlayStation Store deals. Those should still be good until Monday. So like Derek said, if you're listening to this on a Sunday or on a Monday, you should be able to quick jump over to the Xbox Store or the PlayStation Store and grab some of their deals that they have going on. Specifically, Square has up to 50% off, and the Far Cry series up to 75% off. And many other deals. So go, make sure you go check those out.
Yeah, it looks like for Xbox, it's Far Cry is also on sale there for $24. Grand Theft Auto 5 is $40. So there's some decent sales. Rise of the Tomb Raider is 10% off at $54 for a digital copy. So that's not bad.
Well, let's wind this thing down by talking about dogs.
Oh, my favorite subject. I'm a cats guy.
What?
Yeah, I don't care for dogs. I find them annoying. I like cats. I have three of them.
Turn this podcast off right now. We're done. Can't keep doing this.
Don't be a pussy, Tim. Get it.
Oh, jeez. We do have a cat. I'm holding it right now, actually. But I do like dogs better.
Yeah, I had a cat over here by me bothering me, but I figured it might start meowing or something.
This cat's
so
sitting,
I kicked it to
it's
the
sitting in like the crook of my arm. It's still like a little kitten. And I'm slowly petting it from its head down to its middle back, kind of like the bad guy in Inspector Gadget.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's like I'm scheming. That's what I feel like. Cats are okay. Cats aren't loyal, though. All right, so let's talk about dogs. The best video game dogs in particular. I actually mentioned this to my wife earlier, as I was like, yeah, I think we'll talk about some of the best video game dogs. We did a poll, and she wanted to get Derek's thoughts on that, too. And she said, have there been enough dogs in games? And I kind of ran through the list. There's been a ton of dogs in games, and this list is not exhaustive. So just to give you an idea of some of the dogs out there, you've got everyone from Parappa the Rappa. Yes, he was a dog.
Terrible.
Characters like General Pepper from Star Fox. Yes. Wolf Link. You've got Chop from Grand Theft Auto. You've got Rush from Mega Man. You've got, of course, Dog Meat and just Dog from Fable and from Fallout was Dog Meat. You've got the dog from Okami, the main character. Gonna butcher this name, Amaterasu, I think is the way you say it. There's a lot of dogs that have been in games. So what I did was I went on to the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, where there's over 10,000 members, and I just posed this question: what's your favorite video game dog? And then I gave them the option to add dogs to that list as well. So before we go through what the community picked, do you, even though you're more of a cat person, what is your, like, off the top of your head, a couple of dogs in video games that you've really liked?
Well, I actually voted for this one, I think when you did it in Platinum Achievements, and it was... I may have added him. It's Rapide from Tales of Vesperia.
I had to look that up, because you just put a picture.
Yeah.
Like, you commented with just an image. And I was like, that dog looks cool. He's got, like, an eye patch and a cigarette out of his mouth, or I don't know, whatever. He looked like a cool dog
It's a pipe.
He looked like a dog that would be, like, selling illegal drugs around the corner in the alleyway, you know? Like, he just had that look about him.
Yeah, Rapide's pretty sweet.
I didn't know where he was from. He looked really cool. He had, like, armor on or something.
It's one of your characters anyway, I had to look him up. In Tales of Vesperia, which is a fantastic JRPG on the Xbox 360, which I hope will be part of the backwards compatibility.
Nice.
Because I do own it digital.
Any other dogs jump out at you as favorites?
I saw... What is it? Mabari from Dragon Age. I remember him. But that's about it. I don't really care about dogs.
I don't know if I remember him as the same as he's someone one of my favorites.
No, I just remember him.
Yeah, I acknowledge that he exists.
Well, I only got a few hours into MGS5, so I had just met D-Dog and I completely ignored him.
Yeah.
I didn't even play a mission with D-Dog. I just ignored him. I have not played Okami, although I'm very interested in Okami.
Well, it's very much like a Zelda game, so you'll probably get maybe halfway through it and then quit.
Dude, such a jerk.
Yeah, savage.
Or I'll just buy a used copy and we'll call it a day. Dog from Fable 2, I do remember. That's such a great name for a dog. Dog.
It's creative.
Dog Meat is another character I didn't care about. Like, I had no emotional attachment to Dog Meat. And that's pretty much it. I don't think I really recognize it. Chop, I could care less about.
Chop was all right. I'll tell you some ones that I liked. I really liked the dog from Secret of Evermore, and I don't think it had a name. I'm trying to remember. Maybe you had the ability to name it. But that dog was really cool. He could sniff out items for you. He had really strong attacks. It was very much like Secret of Mana, but it was about a boy and his dog traveling through time. And every time period that you landed in, the dog would take a different form. So he would be anything from a robot dog if you're in the future, to some kind of prehistoric looking crazy dog if you were in the distant past. And there was one time he even looked like a little Yorkie or something like that, like real smaller little dog. So like that dog was really cool. Took a bunch of different forms. Of course, there's the good old Duck Hunt dog. Everyone likes the Duck Hunt dog, even though he taunts you when things don't go well. Not very nice. I also like Shiro from Suikoden 2, one of my favorite RPGs of all time. And Shiro, once you get that character, and you get him and his hunting pal, Kinnison, you get them early, early in the game, and Shiro becomes a mainstay, at least if you're smart, in your party right off the bat. You don't have to upgrade his weapons at all. He doesn't have to carry, he can't carry or use any items. He is just a constant physical attack right up front, and he can't be stopped. And many times his critical is to attack twice. And at twice the power. So, love Shiro. He's really cool. D-Dog was very cool as far as, like, utility goes. But in terms of, like, oh, what a cool dog. Like, you could have just told me, like, this is D-Drone. And now the drone will do the same thing the dog can do. The dog's cool. But as far as, you know, is he my favorite dog in a game? No. But he's all right. He does cool stuff for you on the missions. His utility, the way you can use him, is cool.
Yeah.
But like I said, the fact that he's a dog is just kind of... an aesthetic thing. He doesn't. You could still have something in that game provide that same info for you, and it not be a dog. But well, let's just talk about the community results then, real quick. By far, number one with 27 of the votes was D-Dog from Metal Gear Solid 5, and that was almost twice of what the second place one was. So everyone loves them some D-Dog for good reason. He does make many of the missions that much easier and more enjoyable. Amaterasu from Okami was number two. Dog from Fable 2 was number three. And Dog Meat from Fallout was number four.
Kind of surprised by... This is Beyond, right?
Yeah, this is from the Beyond group.
So this is a PlayStation group. And the fact that Dog from Fable 2 finished third is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
Especially over Dog Meat.
Yeah, I loved the Dog from Fable 2. It really kind of changed that. It took... the things that they did in Fable 1 to the next level in a lot of ways. I like that dog. Some other dogs to point out, like Rush, like I said, from Mega Man. Rush was really cool. Walt from Valiant Hearts. What an emotional game that was. Walt was really cool. Interceptor from Final Fantasy VI. He's the dog that belongs to Shadow the Ninja. Interceptor's cool. When he would come in and just bite someone and one-hit kill him, just out of nowhere. That was really cool. KK Slider from Animal Crossing. Koromaru from Persona 3. Wolf Link from Twilight Princess. Angelo from Final Fantasy VIII. Make sure I don't forget any dogs here. That's most of them. So, long and short is dogs are better than cats. I think that's what we arrived at tonight.
I don't agree. I find dogs to be obnoxious. They can't take care of themselves. They make messes. They're gross.
Ugh, you're crazy.
But, I mean, they're cute, but they're just not something I want to own.
All right. Well,
I don't want to have to take care of them.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Let's remind everybody, next week we'll be talking about ridiculous game ideas. Also, feel free to reach out to us with additional topic ideas or feedback on the show. Do you like the format? What are your thoughts? Are there things or ways that you'd like us to do things that would be more interesting to you? Any feedback and all feedback is welcome. We want to keep improving the show. We want to be honest with what we want to do, with the kind of thing that makes us comfortable as gamers and as, you know, newly minted podcasters. But at the same time, we're never going to grow and get better if you guys don't give us feedback. So feel free to let us know what you think.
Two things, just real quick. Two things that you don't even need to bother saying. We're not changing our name, and we're not going to shorten the show.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be, this one here is timing in around 2 hours. Yep. So it's just not going to happen.
Yep. I mean, unless we completely change what we're talking about or how deep we want to discuss things.
Well, I mean, and maybe I'm biased because it's our show, but when I listen to our show to kind of see if we sound like idiots or if Tim's getting on my nerves and I want to quit the podcast, I just enjoy the show. I enjoy even if it's like a silly, dumb topic I don't care about, I enjoy the conversation. Yeah. So I think so far we're doing good. But yes, I agree with Tim. We want to still hear your feedback, but it doesn't mean we're going to change it.
Yeah, and hopefully we keep the conversation going as well. So
I just want to hear it so I can tell you to shut up.
Oh, man. We had him for a while, then Derek just lost all of them. Sorry, everybody. All right. Well, thank you again, Derek, for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat for a few hours tonight. And everybody else, thanks again for listening and supporting and sharing and subscribing, all those things. You guys are awesome. So we will talk to you again soon. Take it easy.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things here.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?